Montana State University Billings welcomes you to this internet broadcast of Yellow Jacket Sports.
Welcome to the Yellow Jacket Coaches Show, talking with Chris Brown, the head coach for the Montana State Billings baseball team, coming off a break from Great Northwest Athletic Conference play as they headed to Greeley, Colorado for three games against Division I University of Northern Colorado. They went 0-3 on the trip. That really doesn't tell the whole story. I know woulda, coulda, shoulda doesn't mean a darn thing, Chris, but nonetheless, that was a game that, you know, honestly could have gone 2-3 if things would have kind of fallen into place. Two really, really competitive games. Didn't get to see them, obviously, but just looking at the box scores, it looks like there were some positive things to come out of the three-game series.
Definitely, and you know, Friday was a rough day. Their guy was really tough, and you don't see a low 90 sinker baller at this level very often. Our guys made adjustments and you know, battled back and carried that momentum into Saturday. Saturday's game was definitely one of those woulda, coulda, shoulda. We had three should have been routine outs that hit lips, bounced over guys' heads, and all of a sudden there's a six spot on the board when it should have been a 1-2-3 inning, and you know, those are tough to swallow. And then I believe in the seventh inning there was a very, very, very interesting call that had an influence on the game, and that's all I want to say on that. But it was a tough one to chew on, boy. But real proud of the guys that battled back and gave themselves a chance to win on Saturday. And then Sunday was a different end of the spectrum for us. We had a pitcher's duel. Both of our guys, Brian Howe and Ryan Pollock, both threw really well. And their kid, Mark Shannon, a freshman who, he was impressive, boy. Not only did he have a good weekend at the plate, but he did his thing on Sunday on the mound. And our guys competed and battled. And, you know, we had plenty of opportunities to have a different outcome there. We loaded the bases in the ninth and had three or four other scoring opportunities, and they executed, made some great plays, but all in all, we played a lot better, a lot more consistently, rolled out a little bit different monster out of the bullpen, and I think that some positive changes were made.
You know, I've talked about this in the past, you know, and just joking, I'm a typical fan. You know, when we get shut out, I tend to talk about how poor our hitting was. When we shut somebody out, I say, oh boy, didn't we have great pitching? You know where I'm going with this. From time to time, that just happens at this level. You just find a really, really solid pitching effort. And I know from an offensive standpoint, you know, the job is to find a way to score runs, however you have to do it. But every now and then, you're just going to have those kind of games where you just have to kind of tip your hat to the other guy.
Definitely. I mean, that kid went out and he got himself out of jam after jam after jam, and really did it as much as you could ask a pitcher to do. And our guys battled. And, you know, the thing I was proudest of from our hitter standpoint was, you know, you see a guy like that and he's on and he's just dialed in. And it's hard to stay focused. And our guys stayed focused and they went up there and they had good at bats. They got him deep in the game, or they got him deep into his pitch count, and really didn't fold their tents up. They kept fighting and scratching and clawing. And that's, as a hitter, that's a hard thing to do when you're facing a talented person like that. That, you know, hey, we don't see that at any level, let alone you know, at the Division II level, where you got a lefty that is throwing with velocity. He's got four pitches. He's spotting up, and our guys made adjustments and really almost broke through at the end there.
You know, as I think it was Yogi Berra who said that good pitching always beats good hitting and vice versa, you know, that sort of thing. But from the standpoint, you know, you've had some great hitting this year. But, you know, the first two games, particularly the second game, the bats, you know, really, really came alive. You know, despite the fact you got shut out in your last game, offense, again, we've talked about it, but really has not been a problem for you this year.
No. Our guys have had a pretty consistent approach, and they've put the ball in play. Probably the only thing that we've really struggled with offensively is getting guys across. We've had a lot of games with, you know, 10, 12, 14 hits, but only 3, 4, 5 runs to show for it. And that's something we really put emphasis on, that, you know, hey, it should be about ideally a 1-to-1 ratio, if not a 1-to-1.5 ratio, where you get, you know, 3 hits, you should score 2 runs, so to speak. And, you know, from a statistical standpoint, our guys have put the ball in play and had good at-bats top to bottom. And that's about all we can ask. And sometimes you have breakthrough games, and sometimes you run into a guy like ran into on Sunday, where we hit balls hard, but they're right at people, and you just kind of tip your hat, turn around the dugout, and get ready to do it again.
I want to talk a little bit about your offensive philosophy because, you know me, I like to kind of go off the beaten track a little bit. We'll talk about that on the second part of the Coach's Show with Chris Brown.
At First Interstate Bank, we have the world's smallest checkbook, the First Interstate Visa check card. Use your check card like a check anywhere Visa debit cards are accepted. Use it at gas pumps and grocery stores to make everyday errands more convenient. Or use your check card to get cash at over 130 First Interstate day and night teller ATMs across Montana and Wyoming. Best of all, it's free. There are no annual or monthly fees. It's a checkbook. It's an ATM card. It's First Interstate's check card. First Interstate Bank, member FDIC.
Welcome back to the Yellow Jacket Coaches Show. Canada Blue talking with Chris Brown, the head coach for the Montana State Billings men's baseball team. Coming off three losses to the University of Northern Colorado, they'll be at home this weekend as they get set to take on St. Martin's University this Saturday and Sunday. You know, I want to talk a little bit about the offensive approach. You know, I was thinking about this the other day because I was talking to a little league dad, and it was kind of funny. He was telling me, he says, well, our kid's, you know, swinging at everything, but at least he's trying to get a hit. You know, when they're younger, that's always a big approach. Yeah, they're swinging at everything. Sometimes it's 5 feet above their head, but you appreciate the enthusiasm. As you start to get up a little farther into the echelon of baseball, obviously, that approach changes a little bit. You don't want them swinging at everything. But nonetheless, you like to have a fairly, I think most coaches would certainly say they like an aggressive approach at the plate. I can only assume with the kind of numbers you guys have put up this year that for the most part this is a very aggressive hitting team.
Definitely, and we, each kid's different, and I think that's one of the things that you have to take into account is one kid really hits well with two strikes and he's actually more comfortable with two strikes on him, and the next guy, you know, geez, he gets two strikes on him and now all of a sudden he's really defensive and whatnot. But you know, our general approach is first and foremost go up there and have a productive at bat. That doesn't necessarily need to translate into a hit, but see 4, 5, 6, 7, 10 pitches. That first at bat of the game is for your teammates. You're going up there and you want to see all three or four pitches that he has, and you want to get them deep. And our kind of goal as an offense is we want to make that pitcher throw at least 20 pitches that inning. That being said, the flip side of that is you don't want to let too many good pitches go. And our approach is get a pitch to hit, not just the pitch to hit, and I think that's a difference in mindset. A lot of guys go up there and they're just looking fastball, fastball, fastball. Well, you know, as a pitcher, there's days where you're getting ahead with your off speed and you're staying ahead with your off speed, and you might not have to show your fastball. So the approach that our guys have is get a ball to hit, and kind of that first hack's for you and the second two are for the team. So we've got some guys that are coming out of their shoes and screwing themselves into the ground, and we like that. You know, we're going to hit balls hard and we're going to put pressure on you, and that's kind of our general philosophy from the offensive standpoint.
If I could look into the mind of a hitter when they're up there, this is how I would tell a hitter that's very, very comfortable. And certainly at the college level, I suspect the major majority of these folks are thinking that. I'm talking about like a 3-2 count. As they get younger, there's a lot of kids, they get a 3-2 count, and they're probably saying, oh boy, I hope he throws me a ball. You know, I hope I can get on base. But I suspect from a hitter standpoint, particularly at your level, if it's a 3-2 count, I'm sure from your standpoint, you're up there thinking, all right, you know what, be looking for the pitch and drive it. If it's a bad ball, let it go. But for the most part, you're hoping that he gets the pitch to hit.
Definitely. And you know, one of the biggest adjustments that we see kids have to make at this level is, you know, you see a lot of guys that were fastball hitters in high school, but they're good breaking ball hitters or whatnot. Well, at this level, you start guessing, and that guy's running 92, 93. You don't have time to sit and look curveball and then, oh, geez, there's a fastball. It's already by you and on the glove. So you have to have the mindset of, hey, you're looking fastball first and foremost all the time, and that's the pitch that you have the least amount of time to react. And then you're looking for a wrinkle, and off something off speed, a slider, a curveball, a changeup, whatever it is that guy has on the mound. So your mindset is, you know, yeah, you have to go up there and looking for a pitch to hit, especially in advantage counts. But that's one thing that you see at the lower levels. The pitchers are ahead in the count, so they're going to throw off speed. They're behind, they're going to throw something hard and straight. Well, that philosophy gets thrown out the door, and you see more 2-0 hammers and 3-2 sliders at this level than you do 2-0 fastballs, 3-2 fastballs. So, you know, really our guys are going up there with the mindset of more or less looking at a location and sitting fastball so that they can react, but looking inner half, outer half, and then reacting to that off speed and trying to put the ball in play with authority.
Are there certain tells that pitchers have? And I know some have some and some don't. You know, obviously, a changeup is only as effective as the pitcher makes it look. If they look like they're throwing fastball and it comes in slow, look out. If you're sitting, you know, that can give you, you know, you come out of your shoes and you can look pretty silly. But from a coach's standpoint, is that one of the things you're looking at when you're in the game? Okay, you know, this guy has certain tells when he throws a certain pitch.
Definitely. You know, some guys are diggers. They're up there, and every time they change their grip, their elbow moves, and the next guy, every time that he throws a breaking ball, his elbow drops a little bit on his release point. Front side's a little bit different. Stride length's shorter, longer. Those are little things from a coaching standpoint that you can see. But the fact of the matter is, can you get in the box and you start watching his stride length and that front side and all that, it's difficult. So, you know, we just tell guys to pick out that release point and try to focus on one spot, pick the ball up out of the hand, and really try to see wrist angle. That wrist is flat, it's going to be a fastball or a changeup. That wrist is sideways, it's going to be a slider or a curveball. So our guys are looking at that and really trying to make their decision based on those one or two things, and that's it.
Yeah, because if you get a hitter up there and they got too much on their mind, they're in trouble. I mean, you just you can't overthink it, is essentially what you're saying.
Definitely, and we try to get them to have a swing thought. And most guys, that swing thought is as simple as rip it, rip it, rip it, rip it. And it's just kind of a timing thing where it gets them in rhythm and it gets them to, get everything in position at the time that they need to have it and get their swing playing on track.
I want to ask you a little bit about pitching, particularly from a weather standpoint. Being a former pitcher, and I'm not looking for excuses here because I know you're not going to give any anyway, and frankly, it's fair game. Both pitching staffs have to deal with it, but you have not exactly played in ideal conditions this year. Weather's starting to turn around a little bit, getting a little bit warmer. What is, from your standpoint, kind of the ideal conditions for a pitcher? Obviously, the wind blowing in is always a nice thing, but from a pitching standpoint, what are you kind of consider sort of those ideal weather conditions that leads, that at least is one factor that can lead to a positive performance? And my guess is you haven't seen a whole lot of those this year.
No, we haven't. And when the wind's blowing in, that usually helps. But a lot of guys like a crosswind. That helps their ball break a little bit more. Some guys actually prefer the wind blowing out, and then it really puts some bite on some of their pitches. That being said, though, from a temperature standpoint, obviously, anything above 70 degrees is a lot better than anything below. And when you get that wind, that's probably been the biggest factor this spring is, it might say 70 on the thermometer, but there's a 35 mile an hour wind, so it's tough. And pitching such a feel thing that, you get some guys that are really grip-oriented and they're just not able to get that right grip. That ball's a little bit slicker, a little bit slipperier, and it makes it difficult. Now that kind of becomes a mental battle throughout the game for guys. The next guy, it's not so much of a feel thing. It's just that he just can't get his body loose and he doesn't stay loose every inning. It's kind of going back and warming back up instead of just staying loose, if that makes sense.
You bet. We're going to talk about the upcoming weekend against St. Martin's. Boy, a couple of important homestands for Montana State Billings as they take on St. Martin's this weekend. And then Western Oregon, the defending GNAC champ, coming in the weekend after that. We'll talk about that on the third part of the Coach's Show with Chris Brown.
Hoo hot.
What's hot?
Hoo hot.
Hoo hot?
That's right. Hoo hot, the exciting Mongolian grill concept that's conquering the nation, and Billings will not be spared.
Mongolian grill?
Hoo hot Mongolian grill has over 50 fresh meats, vegetables, noodles grilled before your very eyes. Choose from 12 specialty sauces or create your own. From simple soy to super hot Kung Pao Yao. Grab a bowl and load up. Repeat as necessary.
Hoo hot Mongolian grill. King Avenue West, Billings.
Where hunger meets its destiny.
Welcome back to the Yellow Jacket Coaches Show, talking with Chris Brown, the head coach for the Montana State Billings baseball team. This weekend, Saturday and Sunday, they take on St. Martin's University. Talk about terrible conditions. I remember when St. Martin's came down here last year. I'm not sure I've ever been so miserable watching a baseball game in all my life as that. I think it was the first day they played here. But, you've already played them once. You've already played them four times this year. Ended up a split on the road and against a good baseball club. I think that was considered a pretty good weekend for you. obviously a very, very, and you know, it's the risk of being repetitive because I say this every weekend, but obviously another huge series for you.
Definitely, yeah. They're a team that we've got to beat if we want to do the things that we say we want to do. And you know, we went into their place and we lost the first game by one run in extra innings, and we won 1-0, lost 10-5, and then won 7-1. So a little bit of everything in that series. And they're a salty team. They're scrappy and they kind of pick and peck at you. And they've got a little bit of everything. They got a little bit of pop in their lineup. They got a lot of team speed, a lot of lefties on the bump and at the dish. And they're just a kind of that scrappy team that just doesn't go away. And they don't have anybody that really makes you go wow. But at the same time, they're pretty consistent top to bottom.
And taking a look at the GNAC standings, you know, teams beating each other up, which is oftentimes the case. I mean, you guys are really right in it.
Definitely. If we take advantage of this home stretch here, we've got four more conference weekends, and three of those being at home. And we do kind of accomplish what our goal is. And on the road, we say that the minimum is a split, and at home, the minimum is 3-4. And the goal is obviously 4-4 at home. And if we can do that from here on out, we'll put ourselves in a pretty good position.
Team feeling pretty confident coming off what was obviously some pretty good play down in Northern Colorado.
Definitely, and I think that you know, guys kept it in perspective, and you know, we made some tweaks and some adjustments here and there. We tweaked the lineup a little bit, had a little bit of different approach with the bullpen and a couple other little things here and there, and guys responded, and I think that it built some momentum for the weekend, and you know, we're chopping at the bit, getting ready to kind of go through the second half of the conference season here.
Boy, it's interesting from a coach's standpoint, when to be flexible and when to kind of dig in your heels. I know you come into the season and, you know, after a couple of weeks of practice, you know, you get your lineup kind of set. And that first couple of weeks, I know people are kind of auditioning for playing time. But, boy, very, very important to kind of look at the trends as the year goes on, what's working and what's not working. And sometimes you just have to kind of take that leap and see what happens.
Definitely. And you know, I think you'll see a little bit different lineup this weekend than what we ran out 2 weekends ago, and it's something that we're going to go with, and you kind of looked at it and said, okay, hey, we're at the halfway point of the year, and everybody's got opportunities, and some guys have taken advantage of those opportunities, other guys haven't, and we're gonna try to ride the horses that got us here, and stay with a similar consistent lineup for this weekend, and give those guys a chance to prove that they deserve it.
Well, we're not going to get those 70-plus temps, but actually the weather's looking pretty good for this weekend, so a good time for fans to come out and see some college baseball. Coming up on Saturday at Dealer Park. There I go back to Cobb Field. Dealer Park, it begins at 3 o'clock. It's a doubleheader, of course. And then on Sunday at Dealer Park at 1 o'clock, all four games against St. Martin's University. Best of luck to you this weekend, Coach.
Thanks, Ken.
And the Yellow Jacket Coaches Show with Chris Brown. Thanks, everyone.
The Yellow Jackets and Montana State University thank you for logging on and listening to Yellow Jacket Sports.